All right, before we get in to the scripture and the message, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this building, this house of worship. We pray that your Spirit is here today with us, softening our hearts and opening us up to your voice and your message through the scripture and through my words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abundance. Abundance is described as an extremely plentiful or oversufficient quantity or supply. An abundance of grain, affluence, wealth, overflowing fullness, as in an abundance of the heart. For all you 3Mers out there, the number of atoms of one isotope of an element divided by the total number of atoms in a mixture of the isotopes is also defined as abundance. I don't know what that means. Maybe you do. John 10:10. Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance." So what kind of abundance is Jesus talking about here? I bet he's talking about wealth, right? Vacations, in-home theaters. We know that Jesus is not talking about material abundance here, but we still pursue it as if he is. Our American dream-fueled idea of abundance has infused itself into our identity as Americans. What began as a Puritan work ethic has been secularized into something altogether different. The Puritans believed that work, that hard work, was ultimately a high form of worship. Work as a means to an end, and that end being glory to God. Today, we still value hard work as a means to produce an abundance for ourselves. But yet, we tend to define abundance not in terms of eternity, nor in terms of the kingdom of God, but rather in terms that our finite minds can understand. Wealth, entertainment, comfort, health, long life. So when we feel that God has blessed us, we are apt to place those blessings in those same categories. Couple that with our overactive work ethic in this country, and we have the foundations of a flawed logic that teaches us that we have worked harder than the other guy to earn God's favor. That only serves to distract us from the work that we are called to in the kingdom of God. It leads to reasoning like, "I've worked hard for this. I've earned it. It's my right. I'm going to eat, drink, and marry because I put in my time." When really, we've been blessed by God simply because God loves to bless his children. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus runs into a young urban professional practitioner of the law. Yuppie lawyer. Right? Comes up and says, "Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So really what this guy is doing, you know, you can picture him, drives up in his BMW, hops out and kind of whines. "Jesus, it's not fair. My brother, he's got all the inheritance. Tell him to give me half. Make it fair." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge, an arbiter between you two?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I've got no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and all my stuff. And I'll say to myself, you've got plenty of grain stored up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get all that you have stored up for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God.'" And now let's have the ushers come forward with the offering. No? Okay. Maybe that's a different sermon. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the wild flowers, how they grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow we throw it in the fire, then how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and God knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. God loves to bless his children. Sell your possessions. Give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Bam! Jesus just laid it down. Now, as an aside, I have to say that there's something appealing to me about having nothing. What would it be like to have absolutely nothing, yet have everything you need? It's an interesting thought, an interesting paradox worthy of further meditation, but I digress. Parents in the room, I want you to think back to a birthday party when your child opened a gift. Remember the excitement your child experienced, big eyes, huge smile, maybe a squeal. Evangeline just turned 7. I don't know if she's still here. There she is. She just turned 7. And her sister, Ariana, gave her a gift that she had made herself weeks in advance, maybe even more than a month in advance. It was a bookmaking kit. Right here. Construction paper, stapler, crayons, scissors. Everything you need to make a book. Evangeline loves writing books. And Evangeline just, her eyes got big and she was so excited to receive this gift. And it was probably the highlight of the birthday party for her. And as a parent, it fills you with joy to see your child enjoying that gift, right? In the same way, God blesses us and is filled with joy when we enjoy that blessing. It's true, but is that the ultimate purpose of the blessing? So some of you might be thinking, but there's nothing wrong with personally enjoying God's blessings. And you're right. But let's continue with the birthday party example. It was wonderful to see Evangeline so excited to receive that gift from her sister, but it's even more rewarding to see her take that gift, and instead of just making something for herself, she makes a card or a poster for someone at the Ramsey Care Center. They go there a lot, and, what joy that brings to a resident there at the nursing home. That joy we feel as parents turns into something even more amazing when you see your child take that precious thing and not just enjoy it themselves, but share it, give it away. Children get it. They understand the concept of multiplying joy. And when you see that happen, your chest puffs up a little bit and you say, "That's my boy, that's my girl." It's a deeper sense of pride that we feel. A good kind of pride. And I believe it's the same way with God. God is like a parent, and I'm sure feels a sense of joy when he sees us receiving his blessing. But how much more does God feel when we take those blessings, our treasure, and bless others with it? Give it away. Multiply the blessing. The giver experiences a whole new definition of the word abundance. But to really unpack this idea, we should dig a little bit deeper into what Jesus was saying in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. So how can we have life in abundance? We can have so many things in abundance that this world offers, but abundant lives? We only have one, right? So how can we possess just one of something yet have it in abundance? Well, understand what Jesus meant by abundance. We need to understand the life that is to be had in abundance. The word life in this text is the Greek word zoe. And it's used many times in the New Testament not to describe daily living, but to describe eternal life. This life that Christ came to give us is eternal life, supernatural, non-temporal, infinite, dynamic life that we get to experience here and now in the kingdom of God. Life in abundance. An extremely plentiful or oversufficient quantity or supply of supernatural, infinite, eternal life. Spilling over, spreading like fire to those around us. This Zoe life, it manifests itself through the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, thankfulness, long-suffering, goodness, patience. It shows up in our giving, in our relationships, and yes, in our work. It's obvious to others, and sometimes we don't even realize that we're sharing it. But it's usually pretty obvious if we're lacking this Zoe life. We find ourselves so quickly believing that God's blessings are just solely for our own personal enjoyment because we fail to grasp what Christ's abundant life is all about. God wants us to live eternally now. Christ came to give us eternal life and to give it to us in abundance. Therefore, if our treasure is our Zoe life, our salvation, our eternal gift, there our hearts will be also. So let me leave you with a couple questions. You know, as I was preparing the sermon, I was forced to ask this question myself. Am I living in this Zoe life? Do I have this eternal life spilling over to others? And what does it look like? And so I ask you the same question. Examine your life. Are you filled with that eternal Zoe life, and is it spilling over to people around you? Are you exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit? Do you take God's blessing and not just receive it, but do you take those blessings and do you multiply them? Do you spread them? Do you give them away? Are you really living abundant life? So this week, ask yourself that question. Maybe write it down on a card. And so you see it every morning when you wake up. Am I living abundant life? Because if our treasure is our Zoe life, our salvation, and our ultimate eternal gift, that's where our heart will be also. Amen.